In the studio, I've got John Lawson. Welcome, John.
Good morning. Kia ora.
Good morning. So, the Well Energy Network election, put your hand up out there if you knew this was a thing that was even going to happen this year.
If you read the back page of the Chronicle.
Okay, there we go. That's helpful. These So, the Well Energy Trust, what can I say about them? First of all, they kindly give us money each year to run the radio station, quite a bit of money. So, I officially have good things to say about them. And in fact, the staff there are fantastic. They really do a good job. I know the staff. I don't know the people who get elected on. But that's what we need to talk about. And it is, I think it's important to vote. And I say this from someone, as someone who uses the money that they give out to community organisations. So much is achieved with that money. If you compare what all the community groups do in our town, and the smell of an oily rag that they do it on compared to like when council does something and it costs a lot more money to get anything done, or any large organisation, a lot can be achieved with these grants, so much. It was two elections ago, a group of people got on who had the well-being of the community in mind, and they set about implementing a whole lot of projects that were really positive. I've got to be careful here because I'm about to criticise people who give us money. The last election...
Completely unbiased radio station.
Yeah, I know. The last time the Bring Back Discounts crew got on, I think they got on because their team name, which is there when you go to vote, as you see Bring Back Discounts, and the other team who had done what I thought was the good work called themselves Power On, and nobody knew what that meant.
And also their maximum votes were only just over 8,000 or 13 point something percent of the possible voting number. So, and it's not very many people out of an area of Waikato District and Hamilton and parts of Waipa.
Yeah, so what that means is though is your vote counts for something. If not many people are voting, then your vote is worth more.
Yes. If you can understand what you're voting for, which is the other problem.
Yeah, we're really struggling with this. Now, the people who called themselves Bring Back Discounts last time are now calling themselves Brought Back Discounts. So we know who they are and we know what they stand for.
And they are the current trustees who claim that they've brought back discounts.
I think they did. Or did they? I don't know.
Well, discounts have been around for a long time. It's a matter of how much the discounts are and given to community organisations. So that's the main difference. I think maybe we ought to start with what Well Trust is.
Okay, John, good point.
Look at it. And it's one of these things that arose out of the privatisation of the electricity industry back in the 1980s. Basically, it now exists as an organisation to hand out money to people like Aaron and other good causes.
Not people, to organisations like Raglan Community Radio. Yes.
Aaron applies for their grants.
So I do well the work. I do the work, and but they don't. But they're not just a funding organisation. Like they also oversee Well Networks.
Yes, I'm not sure to what extent
not Well Networks, no. Well Energy Trust, which is different to Well Networks.
Well, one owns the other.
One owns the other. So they're kind of kept at arm's length from the actual management of the electricity networks in our area.
Well, except they can decide things like selling shares in companies that they've set up. So one of the criticisms over the last year or two has been that they've sold off shares in a company that was setting up broadband, and even the national MP for Hamilton West has been criticising them for selling off shares. So
that was UFF. So yeah, and he was saying, what was he saying? That it was we've lost the opportunity to develop something in our area. I've lost the text here.
Well, basically, he was saying that it's selling off the family silver to pay discounts, I think, as far as I can make out. He didn't quite put it in those words, but it seems that the current trustees have got discounts as their main objective, and a lesser objective is giving money to Raglan Community Radio and other such organisations.
Many other organisations. And, there's a lot they do. Like giving us a little bit of funding is just a drop in the ocean for the stuff that they do.
So a lot of the people standing for election are members of those organisations. In particular, there's quite a lot standing from various groups supporting immigrants into the community and helping them settle in with helping with language skills and things like that. So, and then there's quite a number of sports organisations which are also in there, and haven't actually noticed anyone from Raglan Community Radio, though we have got someone from Raglan.
Well, I don't
standing.
Know how you can. I don't know how you can. If someone from our station could go on it, and then we ask for money.
Well, presumably these organisations do.
Maybe. Okay, well, let's just look at it. We'll look at a couple of them. Aaron Jacob, Yes to Discounts, Invest in Community. He's a part of a group that says that. Yes to Discounts, Invest in Community. So I can't tell from that which side. Like the last election, they called them Bring Back Discounts. What they did was increase the discounts. I can't tell. So it's kind of a discounts versus grants thing. I can't tell from this, Yes to Discounts, Invest in Community, which side this group falls on. This person, where's this quote from, John? This guy says, the government of New Zealand treats international education like a business deal. It's a big bloody money for us.
Oh, this was an article in, but it was on the Waikato Times website. So it was a quote from him. He's an immigration advisor for Indian students. So okay. He encourages Indian students to take up places at the various universities and such like around
Waikato. So he said it's big bloody money for us, not blood money. All right. I just didn't understand the grammar because you did a small quote. Okay. So they're making a lot of money from it.
So as I say, there's quite a number who are involved in immigration and services for immigrants.
And they want to get on the Well Energy Trust.
Well, presumably they're looking to maintain the grants that they've been getting from the trust.
Okay.
I'm only guessing. But
yeah, all right. The good work, though, John. We are zeroing in a little bit.
A lot of work on this is involved in guessing, because when it comes to local elections, I always grumble about the amount of or lack of information that we get in the pamphlets we get from council. But here we don't even get a pamphlet. I looked on the Well website and I couldn't find anything except a bit of information about their current trustees.
But John, maybe we just haven't got the pamphlet yet.
Well, if it's not on their website, then I don't think it exists.
Or maybe they haven't produced it yet.
Yeah, we have got till 26th of June, I think, is it?
So we've got 4 weeks.
Yeah, get these votes in.
Yeah.
So in that time, hopefully we can manage to find out a bit more. I was thinking it might be useful to set up a Google document and we each contribute what we know about these people and see if we can actually come up with some information that would be useful to people thinking of voting.
Okay. Now, there's one here that I really want to talk about. this person, Tarina Ranui, also from Yes to Discounts, Invest in Community. Soccer United, in praise of Tarina Ranui. Tarina has developed a girls' football program that is without peer in the Waikato. I want to argue about that because we're the club that's been leading the way, Raglan Football Club, in terms of getting girls playing football. And we've got to nearly equal parity, like boys and girls, and have done for a few years. And the YBOP organisation, the federation, has been telling all the other clubs to look to what we're doing. So without peer, I don't think so. I think there's a peer. I just want to add that in. It's almost completely irrelevant, but, you know, we've done really well out here in Raglan.
Yeah, I thought you might be interested in that.
Yeah,
one.
Did you just put that in to wind me up, John?
Well, I put more in about her than about many of the other candidates because I don't know an awful lot about many of them.
But also good work too, though. Like, I fully commend what she's been doing. Like, this is an area that's important to, you know, young people. So
it's probably one of the better known candidates apart from those who are already on the board aren't all that much known anyway.
How is she better known?
I'm just suggesting that maybe Jamie Strange is one of the better known candidates.
So he is a current Labour MP?
Yes. He's MP for Hamilton East. He's giving up. He's only been a one-term MP, I think, so he's giving it up. I've not understood why. Maybe he just finds the parliamentary pressure too much, or maybe he's not happy with what the Labour Party is doing at the moment, because at one stage he was thinking of standing as a Green candidate, but then he decided he'd do rather better standing as a Labour candidate.
So I think he'll get in just because his name is known. I think he's kind of a shoo-in.
Yeah, and also his wife's on regional council, Angela Strange.
Okay, a power couple. So he's part of the Yes to Discounts Invest in Community team. If he's anything to go by, they are going to veer on the side of investing in the community and grants to community groups, I would say. So maybe we can deduce from this that the Yes to Discounts Invest in Community are actually focused on invest in community but still have some discounts.
Seems a reasonable guess.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we've got to the bottom. You've done really well, John. This is good sleuthing. So, okay, we're going to say that they're probably more on the interested in doing in the community well-being side and investing in the community and doing grants, if it's the Yes to Discounts Invest in Community thing. Brought Back Discounts, okay, we know about them because they're the ones that four of them got in. There was a bigger team at the last election, but four of them got in, and there's seven people on the trust, so that was enough to sway the trust. To become more, it was a more right-wing perspective. And bearing in mind that they were criticised by a right-winger for being for something they did, I'd say they were very right-wing.
But still giving money to Raglan Community Radio and other such organisations.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, so it was. It's just like, I think what happens is a rebalancing between grants and discounts. What else have we got?
The only one that I could actually find a statement which was relevant to this election was our local Neil Tolan.
Oh, yes.
And if you go to the bottom of that list, you'll see that he's set out saying he's a great champion of energy efficiency initiatives and 100% community ownership. I've been very fortunate to work in the area of community development for almost 25 years, and I'm currently manager at the Western Community Centre in Hamilton. Coming from an extensive background working with children and youth, and provided me with valuable learnings and vast networks and really good understanding of the things that help our communities thrive. And also for 13 years he performed throughout New Zealand with the Funky Monkeys, a musical supergroup for kids.
Yes, he is
in Raglan and love travelling throughout the Waikato.
He's also been the MC for our Whangaroa Talent Factory event. And he is—he's actually fabulous at that. His experience with the Funky Monkeys, because we've got a lot of there's a lot of young kids come to that show, and the acts play two or three songs, and then there's a 5 or 10 minute period where they're swapping over instruments and thing, or 5 minute period, and he keeps everyone entertained just fabulously. I'm in awe of his abilities. Maybe he would make a great chairman because of that. Keep everyone entertained.
Also seems the only one capable of writing a statement as to why he wants to be on the trust.
But he says, I support the current balance of discounts and community grants. Which we feel... Well, what do we feel? I don't know. I really...
It's hard to know from any of these statements quite what they would do if they were elected. But.
John, we're in as good a position as anyone. Well, actually, maybe Rick Thorpe might be someone to talk to, because there's a well-being a Waikato well-being project that he's heavily involved in and Well Energy Trust has been funding.
Okay, you've got till 26th of June to talk to him, so...
Maybe he'll be able to help. I don't know. I'm just wary too, because I don't want to. Like, I've already been a little bit critical of the aims of the current trusts and in public, and we are dependent on them. They've been actually hugely supportive of us. So it's nothing here is clear cut. I mean, normally we talk in elections about Labour stands for this, National stands for this, blah blah, yeah, that sort of thing, and everyone's really definite about everything, but I'm just not feeling that way at the moment.
You can't tell the difference between higher rebates and grants and more discounts and grants.
Oh, higher rebates and grants. Well, that's more discounts.
They've all got these titles which include discounts, which suggests that they've decided discounts is a way of getting elected. But
yeah. But you can't have more discounts and more grants.
You can if you sell off the things that you own.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, this is going to be wound up in the 2070s, and the money is going to go back mostly to Hamilton City and some of it to Waikato and a tiny bit to Waipa.
Oh, really? Was that the deal? Winding up in 2073? This is not something I knew about the Well Energy Trust.
So, yeah. As I say, it was a product of the 1980s electricity privatisation, and I think this sort of thing explains why energy prices are so high, because we end up paying for organisations like this to hand out money, which is good, but in some cases they're just handing out money to shareholders. So it was good that Waikato managed to keep it pretty much in the public sector.
And there was a long story there. I just didn't. It's the sort of thing I get annoyed about. It's the sort of thing that makes people angry when they find out the stories of how it all happened and the propaganda that went on and all that stuff. But that's the past history now. We will try and find out more. Maybe I'll get hold of Neil Tolan, at least try and pin him to the floor and find out what it... Although, he's like you say, he's been the most clear of everybody. Where did he publish that information?
There's a link there. I've forgotten where it was.
Okay. Neighbourly.co.nz.
Yes, so that's the staff organisation that does local advertising.
Oh, so that's where people, so candidates for any election, can put their what they stand for.
Yeah, but it's the only one that I could find there.
Okay, well, thank you, Neil. Should we move on, John? Because I think we've spent enough time on this, and basically what we've said is we're not sure about a lot of it.
Yeah, well, as I say, I think it might be useful to set up some sort of Google document and actually set out what we've managed to find, and other people can add in what they know. And between us, we might actually understand what these elections are about and might get more than 13.7% voting.
Mm. Do we want to move on to... Oh, that's the stormwater meeting. Where's your notes on that, John?
We don't know very much about the stormwater meeting, except that they did announce that it was going to be part of the Raglan Community Board meeting in a couple of weeks' time, and then this morning they've decided it's not going to be part of that, and we don't yet know when the next one is, so there's not a whole lot to say about that, except that it should have happened in January, and it's probably going to happen at the end of June. So
this, what we call the stormwater meeting, this is a group that's supposed to be set up to feedback to someone. Feedback to who?
Feedback to Watercare. It was set up by the Environment Court when they gave the last resource consent for discharge of stormwater, which all councils need to have to put stormwater into the streams and rivers and harbours.
Yeah.
So that the Environment Court said, oh, it would be good to have the people who are interested in that involved in a regular review of it at least once a year. So, as I say, the last meeting should have been in January, since the previous meeting was January before. But here we are in June, or almost in June, and we still don't know quite when this meeting is going to be.
I feel like we only just got the group up and running again, because there was a long period where the meetings weren't happening.
It was good that Regional Council stepped in and said that this is part of your resource consent, you ought to be doing it.
Okay. All right, so... another thing, we can tell you this is an issue, and we don't have any definitive answer for you, but like a date.
Yeah, and we haven't seen any test results for a long time, because it's quite useful to keep track of just how clean the water is that's going into the harbour.
People have been asking about that on Facebook, haven't they, how clean the water is, or is that...
I've not spotted that, but yeah.
What was that thing I linked you to the other day?
I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. Facebook for you. All right, we'll move on from that. What else have we got?
Council's also still having its usual committee meetings. So the policy committee has met and the infrastructure committee has met.
So, John, policy. When you say the words policy committee, I hear people falling asleep with just the use of two words. But this might be important. What do they actually do?
Well, one of the things they've been discussing is whether there should be charges on the boat ramps.
Whether we should carry on
having them free, because most other councils around the country, in fact around the world, I think, have introduced charges for boat ramps.
And they're worried that there's going to be so much pushback that there'll end up being a judicial review. That's what the staff are saying. That seems surprising.
Well, I'm not sure whether it's an excuse or whether it's genuine, but the policy committee decided to tell staff to look further into it and come back with a report. So at least they've not dismissed it, and it's still on the agenda for presumably the next meeting.
They're picking holes in the wording. During the discussion, staff pointed out that the LTP refers to boat ramp usage, not parking, but they're charging for... Oh, yep. They're saying if you put the if you have to put your ticket on your car when it's parked, like your pass, then that's charging for parking, not boat ramp usage. Yeah, are they getting caught up in this kind of detail?
Well, I think you meant this judicial review, because of course they did have their beaches bylaw chucked out by the High Court, the horse people.
But that's because they didn't follow the law properly.
Well, they're saying that they want to make sure they do this time.
Well, fair enough, I guess.
They have got the long-term plan coming up for review next year, so if there's a problem with the long-term plan wording talking about parking rather than boat ramp charges, then maybe they need to amend the wording in the long-term plan, and if they do that, then I can't see it was going to be a problem.
So speaking as someone who's not a member of the boating community, the fishing club or anything like that, just a community member who sees all the parking issues created because over the last few decades we've improved the quality of the water in our harbour and people have heard about it and are coming to fish over here from other areas, I've said quite bluntly, maybe we should be trying to deter that by charging quite high boat ramp fees for out-of-towners, not for locals. So I have said that in the past. And we all know the trouble. It's very hard to find a park down at the wharf. And that's a big problem. And now they've opened up a part of the soccer fields to park boat trailers on. And that's disturbing the level playing surface at the moment. So that's not exactly a huge success either. They've opened up a different part. So it's, yeah, if you go over there, well, you have to have known the field well. But you can see, if you know it well, you can see undulations that didn't used to be there.
Yeah, so I walked across it yesterday and I can confirm that there's water in some places and not in others.
Yeah, it had a tendency. That's another issue too about why there's water at the moment for the soccer fields, but I'm not involved in that anymore, thankfully. So this is one little thing from a policy committee. Details, what's the council's all about? How will that play out, John? Do we have any clue? I guess it depends on whether...
Essentially, it means that boat ramp charges are still on the agenda and they haven't been chucked off, despite the attempts of staff to say that there's all these difficulties.
And it has been proposed by Dennis Amor, who is a member of the boating club, the fishing club here, and also our community board chairperson, more even-handed approach than I was suggesting. So quite a reasonable one. I can't imagine that anyone would object to it that much. And the only thing that people from the boating community usually say is, will the money go to maintenance of the boat ramp? If it does, they're usually happy, is my observation.
Yep, and it seems to be the aim of Dennis to get that to happen. I'm not quite sure what then happens to all the money that they collect from the rents at the bottom of Bow Street in the Wynera Street area. Which is also part of the Harbour Trust. And it may be that they're thinking it's not too long before the Waitangi Tribunal decides maybe that's not part of a Harbour Trust, because there were some pretty dodgy deals in the 1870s that ended with the Harbour Trust owning it and all those rents going to maintain things like the wharf.
So we did some years ago, this issue came up and the question was asked, you know, is that a scheme for getting money into council? And I can't remember the details or why I remembered this, but I think at the time I worked out, or from what I saw, it looked like the money was just enough to cover the costs of maintaining the sites. So I'll throw that in there. I can't really back that up at this point in time.
And they also keep reviewing the rents from the Harbour Board leases, so they keep going up. But they have just spent a huge amount on the wharf, most of it government money, but also some of it from the Harbour Board Trust Fund.
Yeah, but the wharf should be paying for itself after that, with those new buildings and the rent on there.
Yeah, well, the
bit on top of bits of the wharf should be paying. I take that back. It pays for the maintenance of the buildings, probably the rent.
Yeah, there's also the mooring fees, because they charge over $1,000 a year for the fishing boats to moor there.
Oh yeah.
So,
but actually, in the context of how much it cost to build a wharf, that's actually pretty small.
Well, it was built in opened in 1921. So you know, it's been there for a fair while.
We've just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to maintain it, though. So yeah,
not much has happened since then, apart from 2011 when they said it had been maintained to be perfect for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, John keeps bringing this quote back that the CEO made.
So who knows where it's going to face.
But what I will say is, it's a marine environment, and that is the harshest environment to have any built object. It will wear out and degrade really quickly in that environment. So I'm not that surprised that we're spending lots and lots of money on it all the time. Anyway, have we given any useful information about that, John? We're just going to say watch this space and see what happens.
Yeah, well, just to say it's still on the agenda despite staff objections. There were also various other fairly minor things that were raised at the policy committee, like they noticed that the cafe seats along Bow Street were maybe a bit of a problem. So I'm not sure that anything's going to happen on that.
Causing bottlenecks when pedestrians cross the road. Yeah, people have mentioned that a lot over the last 10 or 20 years. So.
And there have been the proposals to just pedestrianise Bow Street, which would solve that problem. They seem to have disappeared. They also talked about natural burials, which some people have been keen on. So instead of having a coffin and all the expensive energy-consuming things that go with that, you just have something that bodies will rot away much quicker.
Do you go for that, John, for yourself?
I don't mind what happens to me when I'm dead. I do when I'm alive.
But. Okay, yeah, it's true. Actually, I feel the same. Like, don't waste too much money on me, though, would be my big comment.
It seems to me that we ought to just put people on the outgoing tide and leave them to float out to sea.
I'm not saying that's going to be
a general policy.
The Coast Care.
Let's move on before we annoy too many people.
I think Stacey from Coast Care might object about that. They will start having to pick up more than plastic.
Well, if it's on the start of the outgoing tide, it might work. But anyway, let's move on to serious things. So they're saying that the only cemeteries they've got at the moment that might be suitable are in Whatawhata and Taupiri, and it might not be possible to have local burials as a result. So I don't know whether people are going to be happy with that. Certainly it is fairly wet down in the Raglan Cemetery because it's down towards the bottom of the valley.
Yeah.
Freedom camping is always something which is controversial.
Hot
topic. Some people think it's a great idea and some people don't. And we're going to get consulted, it seems, from the 11th of July onwards. So if you're thinking of sort of sharpening up your swords for that, then remember 11th of July.
Yep. Now, John, you mentioned before about the local bylaw about horses on the beach has been quashed by the High Court after the horse community objected in the court. But the council is moving to tie up that loophole at some point.
Yep.
Because it was just a point of law. It was a point of law, or was it they didn't follow the regulatory process correctly, which is why it was quashed. So it's not like they can't put in a regulation and do it properly.
No, the same as one way on Cliff Street and probably quite a few other things that council seems to find it difficult to read the law.
Okay. Harsh. Are they working on this, though, John? That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, they say a work plan is currently being developed as part of this work. Staff will be confirming what the issues are that need to be addressed through the bylaw. So it sounds like it's at a very early stage. It's probably also related to the bits that I also spotted about the solid waste bylaw, which say due to staff vacancies, this work will need to be undertaken by a consultant. So they're generally short of staff, or they've got new staff in the council and all these things are
Got enough staff for the waste department again. And there was a guy there called Phil who was great. I talked to him and he's well past retirement age and he's retiring. So... Yeah, that's really unfortunate because there's, you know, that's solid waste is an issue that our community cares about. If someone would like to get that job, maybe should apply. But John, do you know what the staff turnover percentage is for Waikato District Council at the moment?
No, not offhand.
I was told 24%.
Yeah, that figure rings a bell with me. So I can't remember where I read it.
I was told by a councillor.
Okay. I think she's probably read it somewhere.
I said a councillor. I wasn't trying to... It was fairly obvious, isn't it? Anyway,
There's a majority of female councillors. It's
true.
Quite a change from the way things were a decade ago.
Yeah,
It was mostly retired farmers.
Yeah,
and
over half were retired male farmers. Yeah. Yeah, it is a big change. And John and I kind of watched this happen, somewhat surprised, I guess, but... Maybe we shouldn't be. The world's changing.
Well, maybe that's why they have approved a Te Reo Māori policy, which is another thing that I don't think would have happened a decade ago.
No. No, I'm shaking my head vigorously.
which interestingly comes at a time when National is dithering over whether it ought to approve of dual language signs for traffic signs. And,
well, they're trying to work out whether they go with what's logical or what's votable.
Well, it depends who you listen to as to what their policy is. So
yeah. That. Yeah, they've got the problem at the moment as well. But what does the Te Reo Māori policy mean for the council? Is that just signs?
They're also talking about trying to get people more educated in Te Reo.
They're not an educational establishment, though, so...
Well, I think encouraging their staff and council members to be able to understand and use Te Reo.
Okay, all right. You've moved on. You want to talk about this, John, or the composition of our waste?
Every few years they do what they call a waste audit. So they actually, presumably, they sort of slip bags open and have a look and say, oh, that's food waste, and poo, doesn't it smell? it's plastic, and that could have been recycled.
It's an unsavoury task, but yes. And what, John, you showed me these stats a while ago, and I didn't think that they were...
Well, last week, to be accurate, yeah.
Last week. I didn't think that it was easy to draw many conclusions from them, because they were calculating them from different, sometimes from bags, sometimes from stuff dropped off at the site, sometimes from wheelie bins in different parts of the district. It was a bit hard to work out what was going on.
Yeah. What I worked out from those figures was that we actually benefit from the amount of recycling we do in Raglan, so that the average that we throw away in Raglan is probably about a third less than the rest of the district. But despite that, we do still throw away quite a lot of things that could be recycled, like the plastics 1, 2 and 5. Which make up 15% of the plastic waste in rubbish bags here in Raglan. And plastic itself makes up 15.8% of the waste. So we're looking at, about 2 or 3% of that waste that could be recycled.
I wonder if it's a lot of it's from the street bins in town with visitors. Or people in batches, visitors doing that.
Yeah.
Who don't really understand our recycling methods.
People that can't read the tiny print on containers and see whether it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, or 7.
Yeah, it's a challenge at times.
It's often quite hard to find those little triangles with the numbers in. It seems to me that one of the things that ought to happen is that they ought to make those numbers very legible, and that it ought to be made clear on the packaging that they are recyclable, and that, in fact, we shouldn't be using plastic. I think Rick's made this point quite often, that we shouldn't be using plastics other than those which are readily recyclable.
Yeah. So what's the takeaway from this analysis of the rubbish was the rubbish going to landfill is that we're doing better than other areas, but we could still actually do quite a bit better, John.
Yep. And I don't know what's going to come out of it in the way of any sort of council policy. Presumably, when they do finally get round to getting somebody other than a consultant working on waste, then maybe they'll do something with these figures and actually see how much they can improve the recycling and reduce the amount going to landfill.
Yeah, it's still food waste getting in there. Well, they're saying organic waste, or do they specifically say food waste?
Yeah, this report wasn't presented in a way that's at all clear, so it's actually quite hard to work out what's what. Maybe that's something else that a new member of staff will actually look at these figures and put them into a usable form. I've attempted to do that, but there's still some way to go with the analysis that I've done.
Okay. Different topic, John. Responses to proposed closure of Ruapuke Road on June the 18th, which must be for a rally of some variety.
Yeah, every year there's a group in Hamilton that hold a motor rally down Ruapuke Road, and it's closed for the day.
So 3 supporting submissions, 7 objecting, but it's not a vote.
Well,
so
this was the number of people from the public. I don't know. I've not seen the minutes from this or heard the results of it. So as I say, this was the infrastructure committee, and it met a week ago. So presumably Lisa would know what the results of that were, but I don't, because the minutes often take quite a long time to come out. Probably another effect of staff shortages.
I can't imagine that they're actually going to stop it.
When they've got a majority against, even though it's only seven people, and it surprises me that so few people did put in submissions, but maybe it shows that they the amount of cynicism about putting submissions into the council as to whether they ever listened to.
Or maybe not that many people are that bothered. I just don't know. Because it's not a rally on the gravel?
No, it's using the Tarsiel Road, which is the main route to Ruapuki Beach.
Yeah, so okay, all right. I'm trying to read the next thing you've got there, which is about the Northern Waikato Transport Connections detailed business case. John, I don't even understand this. Can we explain this in one sentence or not?
Again, I think it's the main reason I put that in there was that regional councils also having problems with staffing. So their director...
In their buses or in the rest of their staff?
Well, from the top downwards, all their staff. On their buses, they're actually saying that they're recruiting enough drivers now to consider reinstating all the cuts that they made last February.
Oh, okay.
So it may be that the buses will start running rather better. That they're also looking at whether they might manage to recruit locally for... the proposed Raglan local bus, and whether that might still be a goer, because the infrastructure committee was looking at the options for that.
So when you say the local bus, you're talking about within Raglan one. It doesn't go out of Raglan, it just goes out to the bays.
For the last 3 years, they've put aside $100,000 a year to run a local bus in Raglan, and as far as I know, not a cent of that's been spent.
No, because it needs help with other... Does regional council need to be on board as well?
Yeah, well, it seems the regional council is now on board and they're looking at these options. So one advance.
drivers need to be on board the bus as well, which is another problem.
That's why they're looking at local recruitment. So I don't know how many bus drivers we've got here. We have got enough to run the school buses, so whether any of those people want a job for the rest of the day running a local bus, I don't know.
The only local bus driver I know is Peter Hurst, who's on our committee for the station, and I don't think he wants an all-day job. Uh-huh. I think he likes just a little bit. He's a retired gentleman.
Yep, the same might well apply to the other bus drivers, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what worries me. Okay, So maybe it's coming back. Anyway, that's actually some good news because a lot of people wanted to see that happen, see if we can make a success of it.
But last time we talked, we also talked about the long-term plan and saying that there wasn't going to be any extra money for public transport. So I'm not quite sure how those two come together. The long-term plan, as we've mentioned, is going to be next year's plan. So I think there's probably some discussion to be held within council and maybe possibly some consultation as to what happens.
So the long-term plan that we're working on, they'll want to wrap that up by the 1st of July, presumably, because that's when the council's financial year starts.
Well, 1st of July next year, not this year.
Oh, yeah, because we're not at July yet, are we? We're still in May. Yeah, so they're starting a long way out. So, yeah. Okay, all right. Anything else we need to add that people should be looking out for?
We'll try and sort out the elections and who we're actually trying to vote for or who we might vote for.
Yes.
At the moment, I haven't a clue.
We'll see if we can find out more. That might require a little bit of work on our behalf.
As I say, we've got till 26th of June to sort that out. So.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you for coming. And our folks, John will be on the air at 6 o'clock tonight with more detail about council stuff. Yeah. All right, thanks for coming in. Okay, end of the show. And I will see you again tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning.